This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for Ag Direct at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, Ag Direct offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. Ag Direct also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for Ag Direct financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with Ag Direct, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for Ag Direct.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the right equipment to do the job and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. And to begin our farm show on this Friday, right now in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat 675 and a half, up 12 and a half. September wheat 690 and a quarter, that's up 12 cents. July corn 586, that's up 7 and a half. September corn 524 and three quarter, up 6 and a half. July soybeans in electronic trading right now 1374 and three quarter, down 1 1/4. August beans 1357, that's up 3/4. And July oats in electronic trading 302 and a half, that's down 2 and a half. The overnight crude oil market 47 cents higher at 91.13. The Brent crude 39 cents higher at 106.94. The June gold contract $6 higher at $1,563.50. The U.S. dollar index 0.21 lower at 82.050. In open outcry trading on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July corn ended at 578 and a half. That was down 25. September corn closed at 518 and a quarter, down 10 and 3/4. December corn closed at 515, down 8. July soybeans yesterday ended up at 1376. That was up 13 and a half. August beans at 1356 and a quarter, up 13 and 3/4. September beans at 1313 and a quarter, up 18 and a quarter. July wheat yesterday ended at 663. That was down 2 1/2. September wheat at 678 and a quarter, down 1 1/2. And December wheat closed at $7. That was down 1/2. July soybean meal yesterday, 410.80, up 50. August meal, 396.80, up 42 cents. September meal, 382.80, up 52. July soybean oil yesterday, 49.42, up 51. August oil, 49.64, up 51. And September oil, 49.86, up 51. July oats yesterday closed at 305, down 20, and September oats at 309, down 20. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon, with soybeans higher and corn and wheat lower. Technical buying at the Board of Trade and stronger soybean product values helped to lift soybean futures. Corn futures were lower, weakened by the lower-than-expected weekly export sales figures. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 23 to 25 cents lower at 5.97 to 6.14, while soybeans gained 11 to 14 cents at 13.55 to 13.74. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 23 to 25 cents at 5.98 to 6.32. Soybeans were up 13 to 14 cents at 13.63 to 13.81, while the wheat bids ended mostly 3 to 4 lower at 6.32 to 6.49. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids down 19 to 26 cents, ranging from 6.01 to 6.13. Soybeans gained 9 to 16 cents at 13.66 to 13.76, while the wheat prices dropped 3 to 4 at 6.48 to 6.62. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 33 cents lower at 5.97 to 6.02. Soybeans gained 12 to 16 cents at 13.77 to 13.82. And wheat prices down 2 to 3 cents at 6.43 to 6.47. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 21 to 25 cents lower at 6.24 to 6.25. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 23 to 26 cents, with quotations at 13.96 to 14.01. Soft red or winter wheat fell 8 cents down to 6.67 to 6.68, while the Milo ended 25 cents lower at 5.50 to 5.51. In addition to our grain report tonight, we have the Illinois production cost report. In that report, anhydrous ammonia range from $7.90 to $885 a ton, an average of $8.34. That's $1.31 lower per ton. Urea range from $700 to $791 a ton, with an average of $731.83, unchanged from our prior report. Liquid 28% nitrogen at $3.90 up to $4.30 per ton, an average of $415.81, up 26 cents a ton. Diammonium phosphate unchanged at $600 to $690. Monoammonium phosphate also unchanged, ranging from $6.55 to $7.25. Potash also unchanged from our prior report, ranging from $6.10 to $6.80. And the farm delivered diesel fuel ranged from $3.34 to $3.59 per gallon, an average of $3.51. That is 7 cents lower per gallon. That is our grain and cost of production report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
And once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange right now, June hogs, 84.25. For July, 86.07. June cattle right now trading at 118.25 for June. August, 119.90. May feeder cattle right now, 152.32. And for August, 159.30. And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, the ending prices for June hogs, 84.20, down 22. For July, 86.02, up 47. August hogs, 86.10, up 15. June cattle yesterday closed at 117.87, up 7. August cattle, 119.80, up 30. And October cattle, 124.17, up 2 cents. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at 152.40, down 2. August feeders, 158.85, up 37. September feeders closed at 160.10, and that was up a half dollar. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Well, this is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Thursday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,000 head today. They traded 20 cents lower from 70 to 82 with a weighted average of $80.30. And in Illinois today, there was 11,600 head of bears and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a loin was down 44 cents today at $78.20. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Bull Report, sows traded mostly steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 42 to 44, 4 to 5 weights from 43 to 46, and over 500 pounds traded from $45 to $50. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again this morning from $55 to $58. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Thursday, hogs are at 415,000 on the day. That's up 5,000 from last week and up 7,000 from a year ago. Cattle are at 126,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week and down 4,000 from the same time last year. The USDA estimated box beef choice cutout value, there was a total of 133 fabricated loads and 62 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 19 cents at $1.95.56. while selects fell 81 pennies at $1.86.84, leaving the choice select spread at $8.72. At the Greenville Livestock Auction on Wednesday, they had 735 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold 1 to 1.5 lower, while Holstein steers traded 1.5 to $2 higher. Choice steers traded from $1.21 to $1.25, while select and choice cattle traded from $1.16 to $1.20.5. Choice Holsteins from $1.12 to $1.15.50, and choice heifers traded from $1.21 to $1.23.5, while select and choice cattle were at $1.15 to $1.20.50. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
Dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. The spot price for butter, 138 and three quarter, up a quarter. For block cheese, 150 and a quarter, up a quarter. For barrel cheese, 147 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ended yesterday at $15.57. Here are the bids from Honk Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $5.99. For June, $5.90. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $5.99. And for June, $5.82. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $13.63. For June, $13.74. And wheat delivered to Scottville for May, $6.24. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Honk Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again, corn at Greenfield and Scottville, $5.99. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $13.63. And wheat at Scottville, $6.24. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of need.
Partly cloudy skies today, a slight chance of a shower, the high in the low 90s with light southeast winds. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 70s. Tomorrow, Saturday, sunny skies, the high in the mid 90s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Tuesday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers on Monday, lows in the low 70s, highs in the mid 80s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have light northwest winds, the barometric pressure rising, cloudy skies, 71 degrees at the Weather Center. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Congratulations to all the seniors at Litchfield High School from Garrell's Auto Body and Repair, First National Bank of Litchfield, downtown and west side, Energy Tech replacement windows and siding, Point of Light awards and trophies, Pampered Head to Toe, Wendy's on the west side, and your friends at Save You Tech Computer Sales and Service, all of Litchfield.
Litchfield High School seniors include Mitchell Wilkinson, Madison Williams, Trenton Willman, Hillary Wilder, Haley Young, Jennifer Young, Sarah Zimmerman, Victoria Zimmerman, and Kristen Zumwalt.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by the Litchfield National Bank, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive. In our farm news this morning, the Agriculture Reform, Food, and Jobs Act of 2012 has officially been introduced in the United States Senate. Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow made the announcement Thursday. The bipartisan bill, authored by Ms. Stabenow and Ranking Member Pat Roberts, reforms U.S. food and farm policy to save $23 billion while strengthening and streamlining programs to continue growth of the agricultural economy. The Senate Ag Committee adopted the measure on a 16-5 vote last month. According to Senator Stabenow, the bill represents the most significant reforms of ag policy in decades. By eliminating duplication and streamlining programs, she says the committee was able to continue investing in initiatives that help farmers and small businesses create jobs. The ag chair says the bill has strong bipartisan support from senators across the country. Looking forward, she says the goal is to build on that broad bipartisan support to enact a farm bill before the current one expires. Noting that agriculture supports 16 million jobs in the United States, Senator Stabenow says it's absolutely critical to provide farmers the certainty they need by passing the farm bill this year. In other farm news, on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink, and we talked about the area's soybean crop.
We're facing some dry weather, hot, dry weather. It's always a question of, you know, do I plant or do I not plant? Do I wait for a rain? How deep should I put the seed and so forth? But again, the soybeans that I've seen planted are up, looking good. Not too much disease, although, you know, if we're going to be planting in some of these dry soil conditions, even though it may be too dry for seed germination and emergence, there still might be enough moisture there for some of these seedling diseases. But most farmers now are planting seed, all of their seed that's treated, and it certainly will be able to stay in the soil and stay protected for about 3 weeks, even in dry soil conditions. And certainly in that period of time, this time of year, we're going to have enough rain to bring them out. So to this point, the soybean crop looks good, too. I was a little bit surprised we didn't see much bean leaf beetle. Saw a little bit, but not, you know, enough to be concerned about. But again, what I have seen, the soybean crop looks pretty decent.
Is the biggest problem with the soybean crop around here from insects, weeds, or the fungal infections we've discussed?
Well, I think, of course, we can do a pretty good job controlling weeds. I mean, it's very unusual anymore to see, you know, weeds in soybean fields. I personally think the main problem we have now is our disease problems, the fungal problems, you know, even though they've been you know, pretty scarce here recently, and we've got some fungicides to control them. But, you know, we've got good herbicides, we've got good seed quality, not too many insects. Like I said, you know, once in a while you see some bean leaf beetle or something like that, but usually, you know, there's not enough of a problem to control. And then later on, you know, we might start seeing some, you know, diseases set in, you know, sudden death syndrome or Phytophthora, Rhizoctonia. You know, early in the growing season, we're dealing with the seedling diseases, the Pythium and Rhizoctonia, you know, but once we get the soybeans out of the ground growing pretty well, then, you know, usually they're pretty disease-free until we start getting into the later growth stages, and then we start seeing some of these other foliar diseases.
Is the weather a big factor also in the development of those diseases?
Yeah, weather is always a factor. You know, the plant pathologists talk about the disease triangle. You've got to have, you know, the source, and then what usually triggers the infection of a disease is weather, some type of weather conditions. And usually, you know, humid weather conditions really bring on some of these diseases late in the growth cycle. So weather is a big factor.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. Various regions of the United States have had some dry patches, which have affected crop and pasture land conditions. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey notes the northern and central plains and the mid-south into the lower Ohio Valley have experienced emerging drought over the past few weeks.
We do see fairly sharp week-to-week declines from May 13th through the 20th in pasture conditions in several states, starting off with the Northern Plains area. Very sharp drops in Wyoming, going from 18% to 33% very poor to poor.
In the Mid-South, Rippey says there are decreases of at least 8 points in pasture and rangeland conditions in Missouri and Arkansas, especially in Arkansas, from 11% to 23% very poor to poor. Rippey says that's due to hot, dry conditions drying out grasses unusually early. And dry conditions are expected to continue throughout the rest of this week and into next week for the southern plains and parts of the lower Mississippi River Valley.
All the way across the southern half of the country, stretching from California into the lower Mississippi Valley. And as a result, areas that are struggling to get by on available moisture, such as the southern high plains and the lower Mississippi Valley, will expect to see a rapid deterioration in conditions.
Rippey says pasture and rangeland will begin to thin out, and there will be stress on summer crops in areas without irrigation and areas already dealing with stress, such as winter wheat in Texas. Deterioration is beginning earlier in the season than normal, and Mr. Rippey says many areas need the rain. He says some northern areas of the United States will see some rain.
We expect to see a series of disturbances moving across the northern tier of the country, generating widespread showers and thunderstorms. Already we're seeing some rain breaking out across Montana, the northwest, and that will continue and march to the east, and we'll see this repeat itself several times over the next 5 to 7 days.
That is good news for the dry areas in the northern plains because Mr. Rippey says the emerging dryness in Montana has created a tough start for spring wheat there, with 15% very poor to poor on the first report. Also, the upper Midwest has some pockets of dryness across the northwestern Corn Belt. Farming is the most dangerous job in the nation and has been for most of the last decade. The number one killer on the farm is tractor turnover. There are about 170 deaths on the farm each year from this one type of accident, but there are other dangers too. Todd Gleason files this report about the high-powered electrical lines on the farm.
Electricity came to the farm in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, pushed forward by the REA, the Rural Electric Administration. It made life and work easier, but brought with it new dangers that are still with us some 70 years later, says University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Safety and Health Program leader Baba Heron.
Number one electrocution on farm is getting equipment caught in overhead power lines. And that's the issue there is just being able to avoid trying to, when we're moving like grain augers or where we're trying to going to raise the bed of a truck up or something, is to make sure we know where the overhead power lines are and stay, you know, significantly at least 10 feet clear of them by lowering the augers or making sure we're not raising our beds of our trucks or loading farm equipment on trailers underneath power lines. That's where we forget they're there and we get entangled and cause electrocution.
The second most common type of electrical accident on the farm is called a ground fault electrocution. It happens when a piece of electrical equipment is not properly grounded.
So the critical thing is that we make sure everything from our tools that are electrical to the electrical equipment that we use on farms, the generators, irrigation systems, large motors that we might be operating things, power washers and so forth, that they are grounded.
Actually, most electrical equipment is grounded twice. Once by the line that feeds the electricity to the equipment, that's usually done by the electric company, and once at the equipment, say a generator or an electric motor on an irrigation system.
You have to have a ground wire that's connected to the circuits and also to the metal casings of this equipment. And that then is connected to a ground rod. That ground rod, typically, it can be copper is ideal. It needs to be at least a half inch in diameter. You can use steel or iron rods. They need to be about 5/8 inch in diameter, minimum diameter. And then that rod needs to be in the ground at least 8 feet.
8 feet deep to ground the equipment. It simply means the path of least resistance for electricity that might get free of the system is down the rod and into the ground. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
A couple of reminders on this Friday morning, the Star Shooters 4-H Club of Nokomis is having a food drive. They will accept non-perishable food items and unopened personal hygiene products. Donations can be left at the Nokomis Public Library through next Wednesday the 30th at noon. The Macoupin County Extension will have a Master Gardener plant sale. It will be held at the Spring Festival at the Macoupin County Historical Society in Carlinville tomorrow, Saturday, from 9 until 2. Wrapping up part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday in electronic trading, July wheat now trading at $6.77, up 14. September wheat now trading at $6.92, up 13.75. July corn now trading at $5.87.5, up 9 cents. September corn now trading at $5.25.25, up 7. July soybeans now trading at $13.76.25, up 0.25. August beans now trading at $13.58. That's up 1.75. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy. Part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive, by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, and by the Litchfield National Bank.